Hello, good evening, maybe a good morning, and also welcome. You join me on the Radio Fax, Paul Fax, dear Dax, Paul, dear Fax, oh, I cocked it in the beginning. Now, I'm not particularly going slowly because I know that this has been quite short recently. I'm not trying to eke every single word out to the longest possible, most complicated, confusing and tedious permutation. Anyway, sorry, never mind. Last week, there was a moose in the hoose, and I had to capture the moose in some traps. That's about the most exciting thing that happened. So let's just continue on. And the week beginning the 16th of July. 16th of July. Today on the radio, I did a phone-in on diaries, bringing up Grandad's diary. In the end, it turned into people just trying to guess what was in that silver trinket box thing. The general consensus is with me that it's some kind of time-travelling stopwatch or time-travelling remote control. When I'd done on air, I got Grandad's diaries out again and pored over them. I pored cola over them. You see, Dad had knocked me quite violently when he got a six-letter word on countdown. It's longest word to date. Grandad's diaries abound in leather, like proper old leather books. But with the harsh, bubbly magic of my cola beverage spilling all in its bits and flaps, the old ancient glue holding the leather began to dissolve. In time, the whole book began to fall apart. For a second, I did question whether drinking this fizzy stuff was good for me, but only for a second. As the binding fell off his 1958 diary, a folded yellow sheet of paper became visible between the leather and the cardboard of the front cover of the diary. It's intriguing, isn't it? I carefully peeled off the leather and removed the paper. The piece of paper reads thusly. Dad, do you want to read this bit? Because it's your dad.
Oh.
You ready?
Yes, hello everybody is. I'm Cecil, pretending to be Bertram, my father. Here we go, I'll take it from these words here, Paul, that I'm pointing at.
Don't touch the screen, Cecil, you get finger marks on it.
Sorry.
Okay, go.
June 1958. We went to see the Quarrymen at some dive last night. Dreadful. Yet another band that will go absolutely nowhere. Tiffle, Bibkin, the Colonel and me have split ways. For 14 years we vowed never to talk of what happened in Borneo. But Tiffle can't keep its secrets any longer. So the Colonel killed him last night and I helped. This is my confession. We took Tiffle to the veterinarian. His rectum had become too compacted. If the Russians ever got hold of him and found what we printed on the inside of his shell, it'd be the end for all of us. I'm told there are rumblings coming out of Austria. I shall have to make contact with Hildeprest in Innsbruck to see if the silver box's key is still secret and still safe. If memory serves me, she lives at 2 Main Street, Innsbruck, Austria.
That sounds very generic for a German, Austrian country, Cecil.
It's just the address of somewhere in Austria, Paul, that definitely exists. Shut up, it's my bit. Sorry. Hildeprest said she would hide the key behind the loose brick in the bakery, and if anything happened to her, she would pass on this information to her daughter, Prendergast, who, if I recalled correctly, was training to be a baker. You see, her life's ambition... What? Oh, training to be a baker was her life's ambition. She said, Bertram... That's me. That's my father, rather. If I'm still alive in 2013, I wish for nothing more than still be selling bread from this shop in this exact location in Austria. In other words, hopefully she's never moved. what's got into it? The Austrians did always seem to have a good grip on things. Not like us British. Oh, if the contents of the silver box ever fell into the wrong hands, I don't know the extent of the consequences for our nation. But it would be horrendous. Goodbye, Tiffle. You were the best carrier tortoise a soldier could ever wish for. R.I.P. old friend.
Well, that's intriguing, isn't it, Cecil? That's almost hinting that, well, let's read on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. 17th of July. I asked Mum if she was deadly serious about us going on holiday again. I've missed a whole paragraph. Pardon my French. Let's rewind time. Still the 16th of July. What a strange thing for Grandpa Thax to say, huh? Sorry, I've got an itchy on my eyeball, Cecil. Do you mind just not scratching that for me? I'll do it myself, thank you.
Sorry.
What a strange thing to say, huh? I should, and then read out the words to Mum and Dad because they couldn't read it because of the Coca-Cola had smudged some of the words. That paragraph that Cecil's just read. Oh, it's getting very convoluted, isn't it? I essentially just read out that bit to Mum and Dad initially. And when I'd finished reading it out, Mum gave just a big sigh, a big grumpy sigh. Then she slowly got up, went to the computer, huffing and a puffing all the while. Then 10 minutes later, she informed us that we were going to Austria on another flipping holiday. Unbelievable. That's the paragraph I forgot to read out. So now let's skip forward to the 17th of July. 17th of July. I asked Mum if she was deadly serious about us going on holiday again. And she said that they may as well spend the money they got from the grandparents, as she puts it. We might as well get run over by a bus tomorrow. She always says things like that. I don't know why she thinks buses are such a big killer. But then double-deckers are very intimidating when coming down at you at the bus stop. In fact, every time we're at the bus stop and a double-decker pulls up, Mum always cowers away. Maybe she was a rabbit in a previous life, don't know. So, we're going on another coach tour to Austria in 6 days. I've been looking through Grandad's 1958 diary, but the whole month of June is missing. We don't know if he did go to Austria and get that key or not. Though I'm not telling Mum that, because I want another free holiday. 18th of July. I've been doing a bit of research into Austria. Apparently they speak a mix of Irish and Scotch. The shop Argos was invented there primarily as a way of dispensing sweets. There'd be a book just filled with images of delicious sweets, and which a parent would have to go through an order, and the kid would be drooling over it. And then the shop worker would bring out the sweet from the back room. But that's why all the books are laminated. It's because all the drool and the sticky fingers of the children ribboning the pages. Apparently clocks with hands were invented in Austria in 1888. Before that, clocks didn't have hands at all and just a bunch of numbers. It's very confusing. Up until 2011, it was illegal in Austria to hop at the same time as whistling. And most shocking of all, to this day, anyone found to bear a striking resemblance to Lisa Riley will be given a free cheese wheel and certificate. All that is assuming that the pages of Wikipedia are not nonsense and made up by idiots. Can't imagine they would be. No one lies on the internet. 19th of July. I came into the studio this afternoon to do my Thinking About Cooking with Paul Thax slot when I saw Mum and Dad hunched over, again nude, again stuck together. And again I fled the scene in horror. I went to my room to check if they were broadcasting, and it turns out they were broadcasting a very explicit explanation of how the birds and the bees worked. I thought about listening for a second, and then Dan said,
if on the off chance you do become irrevocably entwined, simply apply a little lubricant to the base of the pe...
And then I turned it off. A look of horror and disbelief frozen on my face for the next 40 minutes. I spent the afternoon, there was no way I was going back in the studio to do any radio broadcasts, playing some game Mum bought me on the computer, something about mining and crafting or something. Hours passed without me realising it was barely entertaining. I built a nice house made from stone with a working door and I put two flowers in the garden. I'd quite like to play computer games but with people, but I loathe nerds and geeks so much. Is it hatred? I think it's jealousy. I think jealousy that they could hack the Bank of England if they wanted to and transfer all the monies to them. I think that's what all nerds get up to, isn't it? Unless that's a myth. But in all the films from the 1980s, all a computer nerd needs is just a phone line and a computer and they can do almost anything. In fact, if memory serves, they can even make a real human woman from a Cindy doll, some magazine cutouts and some bra hats. Actually, that's not a bad idea. I've got a computer, I've got a phone line, and I've got access to brassieres. In just 3 days, I can make me a woman. In the name of science, of course. Gonna rutter. 20th of July. Experiment into making a real woman, day one. Okay, I've watched the documentary Weird Science 3 times this morning just to make sure I've got all the details correct. And if my science is correct, and given that I got an F in GCSE science, I doubt it is correct. All I have to do is get a Barbie or Cindy doll, choose your poison, whatever, don't matter, attach some electrodes to it, scan in some erotic documents into a computer. The computer will begin to go odd and hopefully the house will get struck by lightning for some reason. While I'm wearing a bra hat, there'll be an explosion and then some woman will come out of the bathroom with a big cod lips. Can't remember what her name is, forgotten now. The science is sound, there's no doubt about that. I just need the experiment setting up. Best go now and find what I need. I'm going to document it here for future womanless nerds to read and try and recreate my experiment. Should there be in need of some woman loving? 6:30. I couldn't find exactly what I needed, but I've managed to find a 1920s doll with porcelain head and fabric body. His hair's balding and it looks terrifying. It might come alive and bite my eyes out at night. I don't know. I couldn't find any electrodes, so I've got the plug from the VCR and just cut the ends off, exposing the bare wires, which I then plugged into the mains and glued them to the doll's feet. I couldn't find any erotic magazines either, so I've pinched some of Mum's Woman's Weekly and cut out all the orthopedic and back support bra pictures and scanned them into the computer. And I've also got one of Mum's brassieres. One cup's big enough to fit on my head. I look like a roundhead from the Civil War days. 7:00. I'm all set. The computer's on the internet. I've gone into a search engine and typed, "Turn this doll into a woman." All I have to do is click search on the computer at the same time as turn the electrodes on that are glued to the doll's feet. I'm so excited. Just think, in 1 minute, I'll be privy to all the knowledge and sensations only reserved for men who dare talk to women. Though I'm not entirely sure what kind of woman the image and this doll will produce. Hell, if she even looks like Dame Thora Heard, I'm up for that. I'm terrified, but I'm up for that. Right, here goes. 7:09. Small doll fire, blown fuse, mild electric shock. Mother furious about magazine cutouts. Mother furious about burnt bra hat. Mother furious about childhood doll cremation. Father furious about wrecking of power lead to VCR. No bear lady. I'm 33 and I'm grounded for a month. Fuck. 21st of July. Being grounded's almost no different from normal, really, apart from that I have to stay in my bedroom. But as I've got a computer, a TV and Teddy Watkins in there, there's not really any problem. The only thing I wish I'd done is got some snacks to have. I'm a bit peckish now. It's 10:30 in the morning. I think I'll sneak down and pilfer some fodder. 4:57 p.m. I was a fool. I snuck downstairs, but eagle-eared Mum heard me and came rushing out of the living room and realised I was having fun being banished to my room. So she made me do manual labour. Me doing manual labour. It was a travesty. She's been having me comb the hairs of her scary dolls, hand washing all the little outfits and washing the faces. We're terrifying. I've always been scared of Mum's doll collection. Excuse me. When I was about 6, I swear, I saw one of them walk across the room, kick Teddy Watkins in the face, and then skip back to their display plinth. I could have been hallucinating brought on by the flu I had, but I'm almost 100% sure it were real. Almost. 22nd of July. I'm ungrounded now. Mum said, "Now let that be a lesson to ya." And it has been. Much as I would love to, I've known that I can't make a human woman from bits lying around the house. Stupid 80s film. I bet that map, written by One-Eyed Willy, that I have in my scrapbook doesn't even lead to treasure. Stupid Goonies. I bet that Mogwai Dad bought me... it's just a picture of a gremlin. It's not even a real thing. And I haven't fed it after midnight for 18 years. No wonder I never got any gremlins out of it. It's just a cardboard cutout. Anyway. I begin preparations for the Austrian holiday. I've hid Teddy Watkins in the loft for safekeeping and padlocked the wardrobe with my collection of Amstrad Action magazines from the early 1990s in. I can't think of anything else I need to do to prepare for an holiday. And that's another week, dear diary. Shawshank Redemption. But, you know, what can you do? As I've said before, sometimes stuff just don't happen every day. You know, I'm not Christopher Biggins or Jean-Claude Van Damme or someone, you know, one of those dynamic chaps. It's just, you get what you pay for, don't you? And you're paying chuff all for this. So... I know, leave me alone. Roll the music, sir.